Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. Today I have with me your hostess, Hanako.
Hi.
Your host, Eric.
Hello.
And your last and final host, Daryl.
Hello, I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah. So we're doing a right off the heels of the Walking Dead season
six
finale. This is not mid-season. This is the end of it all until October, yes?
Yes.
And I finally got to watch it live. I haven't done so in a while, and I expected a lot to go on in this episode. And strangely, I think nothing happened.
Yeah.
There was a whole lot of driving and riding a horse, and maybe somebody got shot. And then Negan doing talking, which he finally showed up, which, you know, Hanako, you and I are especially excited about Negan, yes?
I was excited to see him. I mean, for what we saw, he was very badass, but yeah.
This is Daddy Winchester. What's his name? His real name?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. This guy, he was in The Watchmen, he was in Supernatural, and he's in a host of other things, but now he's in The Walking Dead. And so we have another crazy big bad guy doing the worst, doing what he can. And so our people are in harm's way again.
He's just trying to make his way in the world.
And it's the whole group. I mean, literally everybody from our crew, from Grimes and Company.
Yeah, the ones that matter, not the red shirts.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Welcome to a Walking Dead podcast, Eric.
No, I mean it wasn't the whole crew, because I wish somebody else was there.
Like who?
Boy, Carol that died too.
Yeah, exactly, Carol.
Well, yeah. She got shot twice.
I'm just saying. All I'm saying is she's part of the crew and she wasn't there. I'm not saying anything else.
She's bleeding out. You can sound happy about that.
Yes, I was happy about that.
I kind of figured he would be. I was like, yeah,
Carol is really upsetting me with her abrupt change in attitude. Like, she was badass. Like for 2-3 seasons, and then now all of a sudden she gets captured by some.
Well, you know what? I have a theory about that because I watched the marathon that was on today, and the episode where the wolves invaded. You know, of course, at this point, Morgan has been doing his, you know, All Lives Matter, his whole spiel and everything. And he's been trying to convince people, you know, the whole group that they don't have to kill, people can change. So, of course, we know what happened in that episode where Morgan and Carol got into a fight because he was keeping the wolf and then the herd invaded. So at the point where the wolf and Denise were trying to escape and they got cornered, and she told him that if he gets her to the infirmary, she will save his life. So they're running to the infirmary. Carol sees them and she shoots the wolf guy. And what he does at that point, Denise tries to keep him from falling, and he pushes her and says, go. Like, he's literally telling her to go save herself. And if you pay attention, like, I've seen this episode like 6 or 7 times. This is the first time I actually paid attention to Carol's expression. When she heard him tell Denise go and push her way to safety, her face changed at that moment. And I think that was, it kind of clicked to her what Morgan was saying about people can change. Because here was this guy who came with this group that literally started killing everybody just willy-nilly. And then at the time that he dies, instead of him grabbing Denise to, you know, keep her with him while he's about to be attacked and while he's about to die, he pushes her to safety. And I think maybe in Carol's mind, that was part of that whole click in her brain where people can change, and maybe now that's getting to the point where she's starting to doubt whether or not she needs to really be killing all these people. That's just my theory, but you know, like I said, it was something that I noticed when I rewatched the episode, because if you notice from that episode on, she's slightly pulling herself away from being the vicious, badass, kick-ass Carol that we know, and she's kind of settling more into a different role.
It was too fast for me. Because she was, for 1 minute, like, wiping blood on her cheeks like Rambo, you know what I'm saying? And she was a ninja in the night, and then the next, it's like...
If she really didn't care if she lived or died, why would you endanger the group by leaving right before something's supposed to happen? And instead, I could believe it more if she was suicidal in terms of while they have to fight the group, you know, that group that's coming, she does something crazy to die.
Well, isn't her character in the comic books initially suicidal? Yeah.
No. Well, early on, she's suicidal because she doesn't know what to do. Like, early
in the comic
her
books.
Her character's already dead.
But she's not a killer. But she's not, she never turns into a kid. In fact, you can say that they took Carol's role in the show and kind of flipped it with
Andrea, right?
Andrea's role, she's still alive in the books, and she was the killer, kick-ass one that worked with the group and Rick especially.
So, okay.
He died, so that kind of took that out. That took that away from them.
Okay, so Eric, you got excited at one point, because I was following you on Twitter as we were kind of live tweeting the show, and you were excited at something and then not excited at, like, what was going on with you in this final episode?
I think the part where I was excited is the part we sort of talked about. Or
that was the only part you got excited about?
No. I meant the part I called fan service is the scenes with Carol.
Why is that fan service?
Because that ridiculous character has gone on too long, and I don't know. I don't even know. Carol, I don't even try to figure anything out with her, because once I labeled her ridiculous in my mind as a character, which is back in season 3 or whatever it was, then it doesn't matter, because everything she does is ridiculous. Even if she's being heroic or doing whatever she's doing now, it doesn't matter. It's consistent in that she's ridiculous. So that all makes sense. I don't know, because aside from that, the only thing that I really liked was, I guess, they milked the anticipation well just within this single episode.
Oh boy, did
leading
they.
Towards the end. And I was okay with that. I was okay with the build.
I think they took too long.
They did.
I was okay with it. To a point, and then finally seeing Negan, I was like, okay, and I was excited, very excited to finally see him doing his thing. Although it was slightly,
he talked a long time.
I wanted a lot of Negan talking. That's what I was very much hoping for and looking forward to. So there was that.
What for? Because he really didn't say anything.
He just.
He didn't say enough to
move on the story, but. He just screws with you or screws with the character.
He mind F's you constantly. That's kind of his thing.
Yeah. Daryl?
He mind F's you.
Oh.
That's kind of how his character does. I mean,
to have you
all, like, just sitting there not being able to do anything and to just be walking back and forth and just talk like, you know, like I've destroyed you, your mind, you know, like anything you do, I can just kill you when I want.
He's so grandiose in a way that's like, to me, absolutely nothing like the governor. Because the governor, if you compare the characters, is such like a weak nothing, like a paper tiger.
Yeah, he's unhinged. The governor was unhinged.
Governor's ridiculous. I mean, not worth being afraid of. Negan is a whole different thing compared to the governor. But anyway... But then the big deflating.
So this guy does not have Walker heads in a fish tank.
No.
Nah.
Okay.
He may have other. I don't know. There may be some other weird things, but not in that weird voodoo way like the governor.
He's a bully. He's a bully, definitely. But he's not dumb.
He's much more pragmatic than the governor. Like there's much more forethought and methodology to whatever he's doing. You know, he's not just some crazy person. Mm-hmm. But then, spoiler for my feelings on the episode, the big thing I was tweeting about was that I just wanted anything but a cliffhanger. Like, I wanted to walk away at the end of the night and we finally laid this to rest, like the big question that we've been having, especially like in the last couple of weeks.
I would have rather, I kind of figured the end was going to go the way that it did, but I thought that they would show us who got killed and then cut to the credits.
Yeah, that's all I wanted was at least that much.
Yeah, I thought they learned from that because they did, like, of doing stuff like that. Of just
didn't they do that, like, season 4 or was it season 5 where they left us with, like, a big-ass cliffhanger like that?
And people hated it. I forgot what season it was, but people were not happy with leaving it like that over a long period of time. The same thing with Glenn, people weren't happy with leaving it just...
I enjoy Glenn's break because we still had episodes to look forward to. And so I liked the way they did Glenn.
But you had time. But yeah, you're still coming back.
But they still had interesting episodes in between, you know.
But other people made the screen. Well, yeah. Leave it like that over. And I'm like looking through my feeds and I'm seeing people who, even people that are really fans of the show, are not happy with leaving it.
Oh, like, yeah. I'm scrolling through Facebook and Twitter as we're talking now, and people are pissed.
That's hilarious. I mean,
they are major pissed. I've not seen one comment at all.
Yeah, it's blue balls right now. They've been teasing for like 2 months, like longer than 2 months. Once they released that Negan was going to be a character that was going to be in the finale. That's been teasing since then. Like, once that was put out there, and people that have read the books, and a lot of people that were told by people that read the books that there's a death coming when Negan comes, it's just been a mind fuck with everybody.
Yeah.
All that time. So to get all up to this point and just have talking after talking after talking.
Oh my God, really? Driving around in circles and talking.
I did not really at all think that there would just this episode that's 90 minutes. I did not think that it would be 90 minutes of driving, trying to drive through obstacles to get Maggie to a hospital. Like that alone.
That did not warrant 90 minutes.
No, 90 like minutes. Warrant 90 it minutes was, is your.
It fighting. Was like Harry Potter and the Never Ending Camping Trip.
Oh my God!
That's what it was. It was like,
oh,
it was
that's
like
six books.
Last movie I saw of Harry Potter, I never went back again.
Well, you made it through.
I did, but I, yeah. Okay, it's like so that. Yeah.
Who do we think was the one that got killed?
Abraham.
Yeah, I think so too. And I only think that because when he delivered that first blow, he said something like taking it like a champ or something. And that makes me think it was somebody a little bit stronger. Glenn was already panicking because of Maggie. Maggie was too weak. I think for Negan to do that to Maggie, it would have made him look weak because you pick someone who's obviously the weakest out of everyone, right?
But,
and Carl stood up. Even Carl was looking like he wanted to, you know, like he wanted to fight Maggie.
Which, if you think about it, though, if they can't, they don't have the guts to do it because I know they don't have the guts to do it because it's TV and they're going to be kind of not wanting to be that ruthless. But that would be one of the most ruthless things he could do because if he knows she's pregnant, so they kill her in front of them. That's what we're saying to
Negan.
Yeah, he knows. How, he said how, to that, you're the father, right?
No, he was talking about Carl and Rick.
He was talking about
Carl and Rick. Maggie. He looked at Carl and then he looked at Rick and he said, that's your kid, isn't it?
Oh,
He's like, yeah, you're definitely the father. And that's what he was talking about. No, I mean, why would he know that Maggie is pregnant? The only people
she
who know
that.
No, she don't look pregnant.
She could just be sick. She doesn't even look like she's showing as far as pregnancy.
Oh, that's true. I guess not. Yeah.
So, no, I mean, she just looks like she's sick. And so that's why I say if he were to kill her,
yeah,
it would make him look weak because you take the weakest person and knock them out. You know?
He killed her and he knew she was pregnant, then that'd be some stuff. Like,
yeah, but no, she wouldn't have any reason to know that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So I think they teased us. I think they teased us when they said, if the kid does something, put out his other eye, if his dad flinches, something. So it's meant to think that it's either Rick or Carl.
Yeah, but it's not going to be Rick.
Rick or
it's
Carl.
It's not going to be either one of them because I think he said...
You don't kill the leader.
He said if anybody... If they pulled what Glenn pulled, mm-hmm. you know, as far as getting hysterical, getting up, trying to do whatever, that's what he was saying.
He said you get one. Yeah. You get one chance. You got to get it.
And he basically told them, if y'all do this again, we're going to take the kid's other eye out and feed it to his father. So in my mind, that tells me we know that Carl wasn't the one. We know Rick wasn't the one. That eliminates those two. Maggie was too weak, so we know it wasn't her. I think Glenn, Eugene,
or Abraham.
I don't think it's Glenn.
I don't think it's Glenn. I don't think it's Eugene. I think it would have either been Abraham. It might have been... I don't even think it was Daryl. I think it would have been Abraham,
Rosita,
Sasha, or Michonne, because those are the three that stood there standing a little bit more strong. Abraham and Michonne, because Sasha was nervous.
If you do Sasha and Michonne, I think it would be more of that race baiting thing.
I don't even think
it's either one of them.
I don't think they want to deal with that.
Don't do it.
They don't want to have that conversation again.
So I really do think it's Abraham because of the way Abraham stood up when Negan got to him. He kind of, even though he was still on his knees, he stood up straight, like, try me.
Yeah.
You know, he still had that rebel.
And he stared at him.
Right. So I really.
And Abraham has been all in his feelings these past three episodes.
Well, as soon as he said, I could do that, could you do that, you know, with the meaning of
having
a baby?
Yeah, we're going to have a baby and all this stuff. And he hugged Eugene. And so I was like, dude.
Yeah, when he made up with Eugene, that was his death warrant right there. Like, you making up with people, you kind of.
No, they had already made up in the last episode.
Saying you making up with people, you kind of reconcile. The only thing that would have really did it if he reconciled with
Rosita.
Yeah, but didn't have time for that. So
that's why I want him to die. Oh, go ahead, Eric.
I think it's going to be Abraham, but only because he's like the easy cop-out choice of the group. And
he
that's lame. I think it is going to be him, but I think it's lame. It's so much more interesting.
Because Daryl really should be the one to die. He really doesn't have, like, Daryl's only alive because there's so many people that like him, but he really doesn't add anything to the show besides just being the guy that people like because he's the hero.
What's the laugh for, Eric?
That he says that that Daryl has no value in the show. I think that's funny.
Oh, because his name is Daryl.
No, that's not why.
Oh.
I hate myself.
No, because he's so beloved. I think it's funny how Daryl's saying that Daryl has no point.
Well, he's
show.
Beloved. The fan service thing, when you say fan service, he's the one I think of. Because
He is. Yeah.
He has no character development. All he only has two modes, sadness and anger. Like, there's nothing for him to change. Like, he's, you know, like, his family's
gone.
He's
almost like a... like a not real character.
He's not real.
Yeah, like all the other characters are real characters in this world. Daryl almost feels like a fairy who kind of like floats around things because he's always this weird arbiter of good whenever he intercedes. But otherwise, he's just kind of
never. He's never abusive. He's never mean to people. Like women love him because he's perfect. Like he's never.
Yeah, he's like a weird angel.
He's always protective of people, especially people who can't fight. It's true. You look at him. They put him as the
He's actually the most like lawful good character of all of them.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He doesn't do.
But see, that kind of makes him the most boring, though. At the same time,
because Rick has done some morally, you know, suspect things. Like he's done that. Like Morgan went through his thing. Abraham, I mean, he was kind of a dick when he was like.
He was a dick to Rosita, and I am very. I was very unhappy with him, and I wanted him to die.
But the point is, he's done like everybody else has kind of done things that are questionable because of the situation they're in. Daryl has never wavered in that. He had that one when he met up with his brother again. There was that one little second of would he join with his brother against the group? But that got thrown out the window like in 2 seconds. In fact, his brother joined him and had him joining the group and killing himself to save the group. So Daryl really is just the. He's the fan service character that just everyone loves. Carol is another one where they really don't know what to do with her.
That's Stephanie's girl.
I know, and a lot of people like there are plenty of people that like her. You know, she's that, you know, she's the character that went through a lot, but she has nothing else to do. Like, what do you do with her?
Yeah, she's the other character that, like, even though she's not like Daryl, but she's the other one who I think, like, if the producer said, fans, you get to have, like, two characters and you guys get to make them, like, your dream, like, make-believe fanfic characters, that's Carol and Daryl, even though they're different.
Yeah.
Like, Carol is like, this is our love letter to you fans because you guys are going to think this person is so cool. But to me, she makes no sense.
None.
In that way. Like, her whole character arc is, to me, very convoluted and very fan service-y as a whole.
Well, I don't. No, I hear what you're saying about her, Hanako, about her change and why she changed, but it felt like she went way too weak.
They had to force a change.
I do agree with that. I think it was
She was captured with the bees
and also the prayer beads. Made reference to that conversation. I mean, I think. What was it? Morgan had that conversation with Rick, was it?
Yeah.
When he was trying to explain why it was cool having the wolf held captive. Like, I was spitting on the floor, like, during that scene last week. Because I thought it was ridiculous, because it didn't make any sense to me. I mean, maybe I didn't pay attention to that episode, but he was saying how, you know, if I hadn't, you know, spared the wolf, then who would have saved Denise? The part that didn't make sense to me, and someone tell me if I'm wrong about it, but wouldn't Denise have never been in danger if the wolf
had... Oh, my God. Applying logic.
I'm just saying. So that's why I was like, what are we talking about? Are we... like? Maybe I wasn't paying attention. Maybe there was a detail I missed. But wouldn't Denise have never been in danger if Morgan had never kept the... So I didn't understand, like, Morgan. Like, if I wanted to put myself into Rick in that scene... And when Morgan said that to me, I would have just been staring at him like, what are you talking about? Are you high right now? Like, what? Were you somewhere? Like, didn't make any sense. So that's why I was disgusted by that little conversation last week.
So do we think they made a mistake with the 90 minutes? Because I think they stretched it out.
No, what I was saying earlier was,
okay,
if there wouldn't have been a cliffhanger at the end of this, if they would have delivered... at least knowing who was on the receiving end, then I'm A-okay with all the build up and all the hand wringing because I liked it, because I enjoyed it. I was like, oh boy, because it kept
you like slowly. A bit of a tease, Eric, don't you?
Yeah. But no, let me. But to have that kind of tease and we're not getting the full Monty, like nah, I am not gonna sit here and. Nah.
No, you want a happy ending.
So, I'm sitting here reading the tweets. I told Kat, I said, we need to read some of these tweets.
Oh, my God. Do it.
Okay, so at Nola Geek says, that was like watching grass grow for 85 minutes, being waterboarded for 5, then finding out you were on candid camera. I mean, something, and somebody else, author Nina Perez says, serious question, will you even fucking care in October? They wasted all this emotional buildup. let's see. Somebody said, Jesus, where are you? We need you.
For a TV show. Okay.
Jesus, of course.
Oh my God, that Jesus. Okay. Yeah, where
That's
was Jesus?
Yes, the hilltop Jesus. Yes, that one. I believe that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, and some, I'm looking for some other funny ones, but let's see. At Nephilim Field says, cliffhangers are used to add to a show, not anger viewers when they're overused. Yeah. So, I mean, there's some. Yeah.
I'm more okay with the cliffhangers at like mid-season, but I don't like it at the end of like.
Right.
Because I like a season for whatever show it is to feel some type of closure at the end of it. Like, you know, season six, that's it. But I don't like when it's open-ended like that. Yeah. And also because we haven't. I'm trying to think real quick. Yeah, we didn't have a single major death. I want to say, was it like the entire season six, not just part two, but
I
part
think
one and part two, right?
None of our
no one.
No, well, we have had some of our Noah was this season. He did die.
Was that even this season?
That wasn't this season.
That was not this season.
That was last season.
And even though he was kind of big, he was still minor big. Like
he wasn't one of the main group.
Right? Yeah, he wasn't one of the, like the starting.
Yeah.
Somebody says on Twitter, I can't spoil the finale because we don't actually know what happened.
Yes,
right.
That is true.
Let's see. I'm looking at Cubed Link says the whole season built up to a single moment. We got the moment, then couldn't even see it. What? Let's see. Another one. Flix the Cat Jr. says, this cliffhanger makes me wonder if AMC and Kirkman have a lot of respect for their fans or very little. Let's see. And then I did catch this part. I was watching a little bit of The Talking Dead before we started recording. And Kirkman, Scott Gimple, Norman Reedus and Jeffrey Dean Morgan are on the couch tonight, so they're there. Scott Gimple says the reason why they didn't show who it was is because the death was the end of this story, and finding out who it is starts the next story.
Yeah, I heard that mess, and it still did not care.
Yeah.
I still because like we would have had a whole. 8 months to think about, oh my God, you know, we need to mourn, but guess what's going to happen? We're going to come back in October. Somebody's going to die. And then like somebody else is going to die. We're not going to even get a chance to mourn. It's going to be like, oh, well.
Yep. That's going to kind of,
I know this is ridiculous and first world problems, but you know,
I
want to share a comment off the TV Showtime app because
go ahead.
There's a comment section for any. I mean, probably a lot of people don't know that app, but the comment section has been getting like really good just recently because they kind of changed the format of how it works. So, but the kind of things people post, it's sort of like a mini Tumblr inside of the app, and I like it because people react like really fast when a show airs, and there's already 10,000. Or not 10,000, 1,020 comments already.
Jeez.
After this.
Wow.
That's the fastest I've ever seen any episode on this thing. But someone on the app named Mango Formiga said, whoever decided it should be a cliffhanger should be on the receiving end of Lucille.
Nice.
Nice.
You know the other comments that will be coming.
Wow. I just, Lucille, we get it. Okay, I mean, I really like, we don't.
I want to say Lucille, I think, is scarier on the show than in the comics because even though they don't really show whatever's happening, just looking at Lucille on screen, I don't know how to say it. She looks much worse, like rather than just drawn out. Like I was just thinking how painful it would be the whole time. Just
to
when
get
was,
that, you had to be on the receiving.
Yeah. It looks
like it doesn't even look real. Like why would somebody do that? Number one, and ow. So my thing too, when I watched the beginning of The Talking Dead and they said they were so sure that somebody died, like just because they got hit with the bat, I thought he said he was just going to beat the crap out of them. I didn't hear him say he was going to kill one of them.
No, that is true. But I mean, but even, I don't know, because even looking in the comic, I haven't read it recently, this issue, but I want to feel like it's kind of the same thing where he's like, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. If they happen to live, that's cool. But when he does what he does, you basically have no chance of living for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah. It does.
But it's so devastating, like what happens as a result of taking that blunt force from that object, right, that you just really don't. You can't even survive, even if you had a modern hospital.
But, yeah, and he kept hitting the person on the head. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I feel like people have died on Walking Dead from like stepping on nails and like getting infections. So, like, this is much worse than that.
Yeah. So I guess if they had just kind of kept living around or whatever, the Negan would have eventually took Alexandria and they would have not been able to handle it either. Right?
Yeah. Well, yes, but he probably would have tried to annex them just like he annexed the hilltop, but it wouldn't have to be as messy as it was.
Yeah, because I agree with your observation.
See, that's why I kept saying everyone should die, kill them all, because all that business that happened a few episodes back when Rick decided to go full-on offensive as soon as he heard about the Saviors, mm-hmm, without knowing anything about them, without having really any intel about them, that was like the biggest, most colossal mistake.
Yeah.
And see, that is something more in the show universe than the comic universe.
Totally.
So if that's what Rick wants to do, if you want to make that kind of massive strategic blunder, then all right, it's game on. You know, if we lose half the cast, fine, because that's what you get. Because it's one of the most boneheaded decisions his character has ever made in the show. It's completely reckless to not try to, like, gather intel and scope out the whole massive size of their organization first, to not do that first,
mm-hmm,
and just run in there, guns a-blazing, all right, fine, and then y'all deserve to die.
It seems out of character, especially for Rick.
It was going beyond the pale of him and his, like, gray morality. And just like, I mean, as we saw in that episode where they took the radio tower, and then the episode after that when Maggie and Carol were held captive, for all intents and purposes, the Alexandrians were the bad guys two episodes in a row. I mean, the Saviors may have done bad things, but Alexandria is like mostly unprovoked attack and massive, massive killing spree. Because the Saviors may be bad, and people don't know that much about the Saviors yet since they're still kind of a new thing. But to my knowledge, the Saviors wouldn't go out and like try to like basically perform genocide on another group. That's not even what the Saviors do.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick and company went beyond that, you know. So who now? They make it even more unclear on the show. Like, are they even good at all? Are they even good people? Because it's very, very murky on the TV show. Much more so, I would say, than the comic.
Well, wow, that's.
I mean,
have they turned into the bad guys? Is that what you're saying right now?
That's why I was a little bit this goes back to weeks ago, because that's why we didn't do a SFPL on the episode when they took the radio tower,
which was glorious, I might add.
It was a good episode, but fundamentally dealing with our characters, and because that episode was a major, like, this is a TV thing, not a comic thing, but it was a big deal. I was like, that's why I was like, like, oh boy, okay,
this is really a
can of worms, and so it could mean who knows what going further down the road.
I mean, that talk he had with Michonne when he, you know, when they were in bed or whatever, and he was like, "Well, we just take what we, you know," like it was pretty kind of, it was kind of
I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen. See, it makes almost, me sure. Go ahead.
He sounded like a dictator, kind of. Like, he said it a nicer way, but he kind of like.
It was up when the governor was trying to take the prison.
That's whatever thing we need, we'll just take it. Like, if we can't, what we need, we'll just take. I mean, he sounded like a monster. If you were on a date with that dude, you'd be like, what? But in this world, in the situation he's been in, you react differently because we watched him.
I mean, it makes me wonder what's going to happen in season 7 and season 8. And beyond, because again, mild spoiler for the comics, I think. But Rick in the show has already gone much darker, I believe, than Rick ever did in the comics.
And really?
That's a little distressing to me.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I think so. And it's a little distressing to me because, again, it makes me wonder. So how might things be different now? Or because I don't know how you unring the bell. Because you can do that with other things where you go, oh, Rick's being really crazy. Maybe he can pull it back. Get it, you know.
Carol just unrang the bell.
Yeah, but Rick has gone from crazy back to Rick. He's done it multiple times already on the show. But this, or what had happened when they tried to take on the Saviors first, that was way pushing the envelope. And I don't know how, that's the bell ringing. I don't know you can unring. And if you know everything that's going to happen in the future, it's hard to put it all together if this is what is happening now.
Like, because there's other groups. I mean, there's got to be other groups.
So who's the laser tag crew?
That's what I mean by the other. That's got to be another group.
Yeah, because they're like stretching hands out and shaking hands and stuff.
I was like, what?
So imagine you have Rick's way of thinking, but you have other groups.
I don't know. I think
you mean the guys because of how they were dressed.
Yeah.
Well, see, they look to me, but it hasn't maybe been shown on the show, but they look like Hilltop people to me, but from reading the comics, they look like Hilltop people.
Oh my God, right. This is turning into the 100.
Yeah, so that's why when I saw them, oh, Hilltop guys. Yeah.
Tree crew.
Oh, well, especially because Hilltop guys.
You watching that show, Hanukkah? Oh my God, we're going to have to do that. Okay, sorry.
But yeah, sorry. Because also because they were on horses. Like Hilltop guys ride around on horses too. That's the other reason why.
Well, I was scared for the horse. Honestly.
But still,
after buttons.
There's definitely more people out there though.
Are you wearing a Walking Dead shirt, Hanukkah?
I am, yeah.
She goes all in, don't she?
Oh, she is so hardcore. Every time we have a podcast and we do video, she wears the shirt of what we're talking about.
Even though it's a podcast. And
well, sometimes maybe I'll put up the video one day. I don't know.
I also had all of my Walking Dead Funkos spread out on the table, and I videotaped our reactions. So yeah, I went all in.
You're so adorable, girl.
You go all in, period.
When one of them gets killed, you're the fans they love. You should put the Funko in the microwave and upload that video.
Eric,
what?
They still live on video, Netflix or something. Right. People that. So I don't know. So like I think. For the longest episode ever, we have the least amount of stuff to talk about because, like that one person said on Twitter, we can't really spoil anything because nothing really happened.
Right.
That wasn't out there already.
And you didn't need 90 minutes for this.
You didn't. This could have been 30 minutes.
And I think that'll piss people off even more.
That's what got me.
I'm only pissed because it was a cliffhanger. So then that makes all that what you're saying. Yes, I agree. But had there been a payoff?
I agree with you, Eric. I agree with you on that. If there would have been a payoff, we would have been like, oh my God, what does this mean? Blah, blah, blah. You know what? I don't think they know who they're killing off. Do you think they know?
Yeah.
Oh, they know.
They know.
I don't know if he was being facetious or not, or just, I mean, trying to stir the pot. But on The Talking Dead, because the host, Chris Hardwick, was saying, you know, I kept rewatching that scene to see, like, where they were lying.
Yeah, I heard him say that. Yeah.
And then they said, yeah, well, you know, we purposely tried to show so much that it makes it unclear. But then Robert Kirkman said on the couch, he just said real quickly, like, he's like, well, if you really pay attention, there's a few hints. But see, I don't know if he just said that to just stir everyone up to start going over the film over and over again, or maybe he was serious. Maybe there were some hints.
So, Eric, will we be getting a slow-mo rewatch out of you, or?
I'm sick of this Zapruder film stuff. Like, I mean, going back frame by frame. I don't know.
Don't do it. Somebody else is going to do it for you.
It'll be up tomorrow. I best believe in a day or so, somebody's going to post a blog or news thing about they rewatched it.
There's a second gunman. And
you know they are.
Grassy, story, no.
You know they are.
So if it, in the comic books, I don't know if I want you to blurt this out, but is this question answered in the comic books?
What's the question?
The question of who Negan killed first.
Yeah.
It was Glenn, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, Hanako, I told you to not blurt it out.
We've already talked
about it. No, you have not, Jesus Christ.
I shouldn't have said it the first time either, by the way. I'm still on record on that.
Somebody did blurt it out the first time before.
Yeah, Hanako did.
Oh.
Again.
We've talked about this before.
No, we haven't.
This last season.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
We did.
No, we,
yeah, but
we
you know,
did.
You know what, though?
I'm sorry, listeners.
It is possible that Hanako may not have been so blatant. It might have been on one of those episodes when Kat wasn't there.
I literally said, don't blurt it out. She's just like,
you
what?
Know what? Honestly, now that you mention it, Eric, I think it was. And if that's the case, then Kat, I do apologize. But there was a Walking Dead episode that we filmed, that we recorded, where she wasn't able to make it. And I think we did discuss it on
that. Oh, is that the lost episode?
Yes,
I'm gonna have to find it.
We recorded when you went on the cruise.
Oh, don't remind me of that.
You went. Okay. I mean, what's up?
Oh, that makes me want to barf right now.
That's a whole other thing.
Hanako was just a bundle of hugs.
I'm sorry. I love you. I'm sorry.
But I mean, that doesn't.
Don't
mean
tell me.
Whoever happened in the comic with that, it doesn't mean anything for this show. I don't think it's gonna go out of the book.
No, you're right. It doesn't mean anything. But I think. Okay, one thing I do like that they did. Okay,
yeah.
Let's pretend there wasn't a cliffhanger, all right? Let's pretend we found out already who it is, and so then I can talk like I like this episode. because then what I did like about the episode was leading up to the big reveal or whatever, they cast doubt all over the place. So they make you think, oh, it could be Daryl at some point. Oh, it could be Abraham, because as you guys were saying earlier, I mean, they even made it like, oh, it could be Eugene, because Eugene gives the plans, because what the conversation that fans have already been having, and we did a little bit like on Facebook, is like, well, it could be this person, but it probably wouldn't be this person because of this reason, and it probably wouldn't be this person. So they kind of like put things in this episode leading up to where, because for instance, like I feel like it couldn't be Eugene because Eugene's too important. But
important
then,
to what? What does he do? Eugene does nothing.
No.
He just has hair.
Well, listen, because in the makers of the show, they've done this since long ago. They take into consideration when they make their show that people have read it. So they like to F with us, like who have already read it. Because we think we know what's going to happen. And so then they like to throw in things to like make us question it. See, so yeah, you don't know anything about Eugene, so you're like, he doesn't do anything. But I'm speaking as like a comic reader, like, nah, they're not going to kill Eugene.
Oh, so you're not going to blurt it out. Thank you, Hanako.
But I'm
saying, so they make it like, oh, Eugene could be killed because you know, he hands over these little Betty Crocker recipes to Rick. And then another thing. Okay, like we all say it's going to be Abraham, right?
I'm ready. I'm ready for Abraham.
Even before this episode started airing, a lot of people thought it was going to be him. But what's curious about him is was it last week? I'm already losing track of weeks. When Denise got killed?
Yeah.
What was interesting about Denise getting killed?
Week before that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was interesting about that episode is that the way in which she gets killed, spoiler or not, is exactly the way Abraham gets killed.
Oh, you son of a... I can't believe this crap.
No.
I cannot believe this crap.
But it doesn't matter, though.
Oh.
In the comics, Abraham got killed the way that Denise got killed on the show.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
No, you understand. The point is that these spoilers aren't spoilers.
They are spoilers to me.
Because
you're not going to read that comic.
I read the first compendium.
No, because if you think it as a spoiler, then...
Yes, I did. I owned it.
That's what adds to the confusion, though.
No, but you're not.
Because then you're just like...
Shut up, Daryl.
What's going to happen? The point is, Denise's death, like, really throws it, like, up in the air about Abraham, because now you have no idea. Because on the one hand, does that mean he's safe? You see, that might make you think he's safe.
I would only I would only beg to differ with that as opposed to with Glenn is because they made it a thing, like a 3 to 4 episode thing to do that Glenn death. Like, supposed Glenn death. And
they stretched it out.
Do it again, to stretch it out and just to go through that again at the finale.
I don't think they're going
to
do it.
That's a good idea. That's good observation.
No, but no, you're right, though. That would make it really weak.
Yeah, it would make it really weak. So that's why I think it could still be Abraham, because that Denise was kind of like, all right, boom. She
I didn't think she would get killed. She's a doctor.
Oh, and I didn't. By the way, I didn't think.
Yeah, but she had something to tell her girlfriend that she didn't. That she didn't.
So that you get killed because of it.
The show does things like that.
Even though she wasn't a major character, I will admit, like Noah, she was another one I completely did not see coming. I really, really did not expect Denise.
But we should have
in this season.
Well, then, I mean, if that's your logic, Daryl, then everybody's going to die. I mean,
that's why I keep saying everyone's going
to
die.
But they lead you to it with the whole relationship with her because it was so important for her to tell her what she should have told her, that she loved her, whatever, and she didn't. And then to go through this whole thing of, you know, like the whole speech of being too scared to express yourself, like that kind of. It kind of leads you down the road of you're not going to be happy.
The other reason
Go ahead.
The other reason I was really surprised by the Denise death, I believe it came a week after a big death on the 100 that everyone.
Are we still talking about the 100 right now? Oh yeah, and the chick that died on the 100, she's in Fear of the Walking Dead.
Well,
yeah.
That's the reason why they say they killed her. By the way, was because she's in Fear of the Walking Dead. No. But anyway. Well, that's the reason they said, because the fandom of that show went completely
insane. Oh my god!
And for the reasons that that fandom went on that show, and then the Denise death happened like a week later, and in some ways is very, very similar to that other character in the other show. I just thought everyone was gonna flip their shit.
I think they did.
I probably wasn't paying attention.
They went crazy. Oh my god. I don't even follow 100, but I heard about
But for The Walking Dead, I mean, to go crazy on Denise the way they did for the 100.
They were probably all out of outrage.
So it was a bit shocking, I have to admit.
And there are people even posting Negan kills Glenn. Negan and Maggie get together. Maggie's kid turns out to be Batman. Like, they're
what the hell does that mean?
That was good.
One of my friends came over to watch it with me tonight, and he said that what he was hearing online was that people were thinking that the whole issue of Maggie and the baby, someone was thinking that she may have, I guess, miscarried or. The baby died and turned to a walker in her stomach. I'm like,
exactly what I was thinking in real time, watching it live on TV. Mm-hmm. That was exactly my thought. You know, probably why I thought that was because going back to the series V from the 80s.
Oh my god!
I watched that on TV back then. And this is one episode that was similar to what you were just talking about, and it scared the bejesus out of me as a kid.
Yeah, that was cool.
Okay, that was before I became me now, and I was
contrarian, cynical.
I was like traumatized. I was a kid.
And that's the turn for him.
Similar to what Hanako just said happened on V, and it was. Oh my god!
But what you know? What I thought was going to happen was I thought Maggie was going to slowly. I thought she was going to die. I thought they were going to lose the baby, and she died. And then someone major was going to die with the whole Lucille thing getting hit with the bat. Like, I thought they were going to be the two major deaths.
I thought that, too. But I was hoping they wouldn't do that, because then you also have people who are going to be upset, because then that'll be the second pregnant person that died on the show.
But that'd be the tragedy, though. They don't have the medical. Like, I thought that they would go for the 1-2 punch of, you know, like, this is the sadness. You know, like this will be the kind of hopelessness that you're going to feel early. And then eventually there's other things that'll happen, because they've done this before where the team where you look at the group and it's like, they're never going to get out of this. This is it for them. Like,
that's what I was thinking. I felt that.
My whole thing was, as they saw, the groups kept getting bigger and bigger. Every time they got to one of the Savior's roadblocks, the group like multiplied. It. They were like gremlins. They were just all over the place.
Yep.
My thing is, I probably would have just turned around and went back home and tried to get a smaller vehicle, go to Hilltop, get the doctor, bring them back or something, because obviously that RV was not, the whole RV situation was not working.
Oh my God. It was like Groundhog Day.
Strategically, Maggie would just have to, they would have to deal with it at where they at. Because there's no way you could get through that. Like, there's no, you don't have an army to get through that army.
Right.
You just don't. And there's no, I mean, you would hate it. You'd be sad. It's a tragedy, but it's not worth all your heavy hitters getting killed for that one person.
Right. And here's the thing. This is my thing. At the beginning of the episode, I'm looking at everybody getting on the RV, and I'm like, why are all of the strongest people getting on the RV?
That's the dumbest crap.
That's y'all strategically not remember terrible. No one does that.
The wolves invaded, and then you had a walker invasion. Why is there nobody strong holding down the fort? I mean, yes,
it's abandoned.
Father Gabriel turned a corner. Yippee-yay, Kyle, whatever. But he is not the person who is going to make the tough decision.
No.
If, say, and think about it. All of Rick's group, all of them are gone. Half of them are, more than half of them are on the RV with Rick, and then you've got four that are MIA. Well, no, six that are MIA.
Yep.
So that's the prime time for someone to come in and attack, because all the strong people are gone.
Yeah. And you just left them
to
there.
To me, like that was just the dumbest. I mean, we were all sitting here looking at the TV screen, and we're like, what the hell are they doing? Like, that's, why is everybody getting on the thing?
And no one in that group is saying to Rick, no, we're not. This is not what we're going to do. You're not going to do this. Like, there's no one to say that. Like, I don't know why everybody else got dumb like that. Like,
because here's my thing, and this is what bothered me so much. All of the strong people, Rick, you know, you're taking all of the strong people, all of the people who you know are going to do what they need to do, are on this RV or are gone. You just left your child with the people who are, I'm sorry, the weakest in the bunch.
Makes no sense.
I don't know why you guys are taking it serious.
Oh my God, like, Eric,
everything,
stop.
No, everything you just said about that situation. Because, obviously, all that, yeah, obviously, it makes no sense in the world of The Walking Dead, but it only makes sense in the world of the producers who want to just set up this finale scene.
Yeah, it feels like set up.
The whole thing. And that's actually what I really didn't like about last week's episode, which I hated so much, because it was an extension of what you're talking about. Everything that happened, or mostly everything, was completely illogical and served no purpose other than to set up the pieces for this week, which was all set up just to, like, in other words, in the writer's room, they said, okay, how are we going to get all the best characters that everyone cares about? How are we going to get them all kneeling in front of Negan? That was the question in the writer's room.
Yep.
And then they had to, like, reverse engineer it, and they came up
with
this 90 minutes in last week's episode, which I thought was all convoluted and ridiculous.
Agreed.
Because it all seems to me as if, you guys had more than a year to think about this. It almost seems like they only had, like, we're shooting in 1 week, so come up with it now. That's how ridiculous and late. And that's why I kept saying, go ahead, kill them all. Again, adding on to when I said it when they had the bonehead idea of taking the radio tower, and then now this. So I don't really care anymore, because none of the heroes deserve to live. Because if this is how they all want to act, then that's fine.
Oh my God, Eric.
No, I'm just being honest.
But I understand Eric's frustration. It's like
it's not even frustration. It's release.
The people who have this particular group have gone through so much over the last few years. I mean, at this point, Walking Dead probably has it's been about 2 years because Judith still apparently isn't walking. So it's only been about 2, maybe 3 years because she's probably right around a little bit over a year old. But you've got these people who up until now have really have made really smart decisions that have kept the group together and for the most part standing. And then all of a sudden in the last couple of weeks, everybody's making stupid decisions. It's like, oh, you guys got really comfortable in Alexandria. Now you can't think. Like yep. Daryl just going out. I mean, and I understand Daryl's frustration. I understand he's feeling like he's the blame. The guy used his, you know, the guy that he let live and get one over on him. He used his own crossbow to kill Denise. And, you know, just all this stuff. I understand that. But still, it's like all of y'all are making some stupid decisions. And it's, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, maybe next season we'll have a different conversation. I know still there's just anger all over Twitter. This guy named Jeff Zombie was like, the Walking Dead finale was a major cop-out by the writers. Not telling us who died was a big mistake and a waste of Negan's introduction.
I agree. Which I thought was, I agree.
Yeah.
But on that note, Jeffrey Dean Morgan was awesome.
Did he lose weight? He looked skinny.
Yeah, he looked very skinny. And actually, that's the one thing I didn't like about that because
whatever, he looks good.
Okay, fine. You like him looking frail and skinny, but
he didn't look frail to me though.
Not well. He didn't look like the comedian.
He looked skinny jeans wearing.
But he was wearing skinny jeans, but they were loose fitting. The skinny jeans.
That's what I'm saying. The Negan that we know, he's bigger.
No, I'm being strictly, honest right now. He looked like something's going on with the diet.
Like you're
there.
Negan, you're the leader. You're eating. Like everybody else, they can.
That's why I like in the comic, is Negan is massive, huge, like Dwayne Johnson.
But he's eating.
He's imposing.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, you see that? Like you can't be looking like you're skinny and don't eat a lot every day because everybody's giving. Like it's almost a prison. The way he runs the group, and you look at the way he is, it's like a prison. Like he's running it like groups in prison. Like I gotta shame the leader of this other group. I gotta break them, and then you gotta follow what I want you to do, and that's why you break the leader first. You don't kill a leader, but you break the leader.
And oh my God, Rick looked broken. I've never seen Rick that scared.
He was scared.
He was shaking. He was deserves yeah. It. That was kind of for me. That was nerve-wracking to watch Rick like that, because it's like that's when you kind of knew the threat of Negan was real.
It's his fault. Like he didn't all the stuff that he would have killed other people in Alexandria for doing, because he basically would have did when they first got to Alexandria. He would have let them die for doing something dumb like that.
Right.
He just did it. And he got so angry. Remember all them times he got angry with her, the leader, and the other group people, because he was like, you're the kind of people that get my people killed. So yeah. I'm not fucking with you. Like, my people going to do what they're going to survive because they do the right things. We going to let you die. Like, he was just telling his people, you do what you got to do. Don't listen, because these fools over here, the way that they're not thinking to survive. They're thinking in a way that's going to get everybody killed. And this is what he's thinking. Like, it's like, how you go from being that guy to now you're the one that's getting your group killed and the town killed. Cause now they could just walk in to Alexandria and take them down. Them dudes can't do nothing. Them people in that town, they are not fighters. They can't shoot. They're dead. What are they going to do? They got one preacher that might be able to kill two or three of them.
Right. Because I mean, even the strongest Alexandrian is Aaron, and he's with them.
Yeah, so you're done. You're done. Right. There's nothing you can do to save that group. Your son is dead. You dead. Like, you know, Maggie. All of this for Maggie. She's dead anyway. Like, you know, like you try to do all this to save the baby and save Maggie. You pretty much kill them anyway because they're stuck in this situation too. So now everybody's gone. What is Morgan going to do with one stick?
He has Carol, she'll put on a mask and blow up something from afar.
I think Carol's done for.
We can only hope.
All right, guys. I wonder if that's going to be Carol's next, like, if they're going to do that whole thing of Carol to the rescue again. Like, this whole...
I don't know. No. Well, we're doing a crazy big bad thing again, and we do that, every other season, and I'm getting a little tired. Like, I'm exhausted.
There's no reason for that. Like, there's not a good enough reason except you want her off the boards, away from the group, but while they're captured by Negan. Like, that's the only thing I can think of, is that you want her away from them right now. You want Morgan and you want her away. So you can have a cool scene of her with the guns and Morgan with his ninja stick, and they can come in and kind of join with the other Hilltop group with Jesus and have them come in, and you get the cool scene of them to action coming in rescuing Rick.
Yelling and running. So Morgan killed somebody tonight.
Yeah, so he'll be ready to go psycho.
And so, Carol was going on about how you only kill for people that you love. So was that saying that he loved her?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Eric, behave.
Nothing, it doesn't matter.
Because he didn't even hesitate to do it. Like, he didn't even hesitate.
Yeah, because usually he has, to write a whole paragraph and pray about
I think they're trying to have this thing where he sees in her what the guy that showed him how to fight saw in him. Like, when he saw in her, like, he thought of her as a monster at one point. Like, he looked at her like, you're just a monster, you don't care about life. But then I think he saw something in her. They're trying to say that he saw something.
Anything with Carol and Morgan to me is like the Walking Dead version of Flight 462. It's a micro series that's sort of attached to The Walking Dead, but it just goes week after week, and I never care, and only idiotic things happen. So, yeah, it's just like a web series, Morgan and Carol. It means nothing to me.
Okay, and we will wrap up on that negative note.
the ray of hope is that I'm one of the people who's actually, and especially in light of what's happened tonight on the show.
Yes, you're special, Eric.
I'm looking forward to Fear the Walking Dead next week. And I'm glad.
I'm not really.
It is my palate cleanser for The Walking Dead, especially since it's out rotten.
I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it.
Like Fear for a lot of reasons.
I don't want to watch it.
I'm going
to watch it just to see what happens. But
they're going
to
be on a boat. And
at this point in television viewing, whatever, I'm waiting for Salem to come back, Game of Thrones, and I think that's pretty much it.
And Kat, instead of walking, you're going to have a lot of floating. They just float.
Yeah.
No,
float the Walking Dead. Is
the happy-go-lucky Walking Dead show.
Seriously, that just came out of your mouth.
Yes. Ugh. Yes, that's what it is. Because this is the much more dour and show than the main show.
Wait, that's the happy show, is the Fear of the Walking
Dead? That's what he said.
It doesn't matter. Like, anyone can die. No one's going to lose
sleep. You got mom drunk, drinking in the back.
You know what? She's the only normal one. It's a zombie apocalypse. Of course you're going to be drinking.
Turn of The Walking Dead.
You got asshole son looking for drugs.
Yes. See, it's good times.
Okay, Eric.
The Walking Dead.
You got mysterious black man.
Bad times.
You got mysterious black man that you never know.
He's crazy.
Something about him does not sit right.
I can't wait for him to die, because I don't think he's going to make it, because he's too crazy. He's just like, let me go to my lush pad, and we're going to leave it to go to the boat. We're going to get off the boat.
He almost come off like a pimp. I could see.
Yes.
He does. He come off
Fear
like a...
is the happy show. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
It's fun to drink your buddies and it's like all good. The Walking Dead is like a funeral. Like, Fear is a party.
Fear is a party?
Yes.
Fear is a party. And that's where we end in the party line tonight, folks. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us if you agree, disagree, if you whatever. 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a message at scifipartyline.com. Leave us tweets at Sci-Fi Party Line. And we're on Facebook, Google+, Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the party next time. Bye. Shut up.
End of line.